Welcome to the Mum Break Podcast, a place where you can feel normal, get helpful information, and laugh your ass off. Hopefully without peeing your pants. I'm your host, Erica, and I have two kiddos. I am not a mom expert, but I do have a zillion hours of therapy under my belt and no filter. I'm on my own journey to find happiness, and I want to help you on the way to yours. If you guys have been following me on Instagram, you know that I am obsessed with organizing and cleaning and systems. And in the last few months, I've been obsessed with decluttering as opposed to just creating systems with all the old junk that I already have, basically moving junk around. And I managed to snag Katie Joy Wells. She's going to be talking to us all about decluttering. Honestly, it's funny. Saying this out loud is a little funny. But I find organization and decluttering is like porn for me. I was talking to my husband last night and I managed to get some cable organizers from Amazon. Actually, I'll put the link in the notes. But essentially, it just helps organize and maintain iPhone and phone chargers so that they don't go crazy or fall on the floor. I looked at him, I'm like, this is like my equivalent of porn. A little fun fact about me, which is also why I'm for fun taking a professional organizing certification so that I will be legitimately a professional organizer with a specialty in managing households just for fun because I can. So all that to say is my chat with Katie was my dream. It was something that I could talk about in addition to talking about marketing, talking about stuff like this. So I'm just going to jump right in. Let me know. I have all of the notes in the comments. I'll link them up for you, all the links in there as well. The link is in the description, or if you go to mumbreak.ca, it is all there. You can also, if you go to that episode, if you want to get notifications for these episodes, so you can get every time a new episode comes out, you'll get an email reminder because life, you can also do that there. Okay, here we go, guys.
How are you doing? Thank you for coming on to my podcast. I had so much fun on yours. What was it, last week or 2 weeks? It feels like a year ago now at this point.
It does.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, last week was a really long week for everybody, I think. It was so much fun. And I actually think about that almost every day, how much fun it was to literally just have a mom break and just have something, someone to laugh with and just be silly with. It's like, what a good reminder. Like we just, you know, I know things are heavy. I know there's lots of work that needs to happen, you know, but it's nice to be silly, you know.
It is. It's needed because it's so funny because in order to be able to do that work in an intentional way, you have to be in the right mindset yourself as well, right? Yeah. Like, it's so funny because I was, and we were just talking about this before I started recording, but yesterday I had a hard day and I was running on fumes. And I realized that I had been sitting in my chair in my office where I'm recording this right now for you guys who can't see me. And I'd been sitting in the chair for like 13 hours straight, just trying to hammer things out. Like I need to just physically get up, walk away. I got in my van and drove to the Quickie and got some gummy bears. I was like, this counts. This is a good mental health break. And then sat back down for another 4 hours.
Those spark joy. And yeah, you got out of your house. You got a break. I that really happens to me too. We get sucked into our environment and forget to move, forget to get outside, get some fresh air, you know, which helps shift our perspective and, you know, gives an inward focus or outward focus instead of an inward focus. And it just really, really helps. So I also tell people who are, I don't know, I'm kind of segueing into clutter because that's my jam. But it's like, same with decluttering. It's like we kind of get sucked in and get overwhelmed and then the emotion catches up with us or the stress or whatever that is for a lot of people. And it's like, okay, just take like a 3-minute break outside, take a walk around your block, come back into it with a good mindset, you know, and start over. So anyway.
Well, it is so funny because I do these things on my story where I don't even know what they're called, but I call them speed cleaning videos. And I basically record myself cleaning it's not cleaning. It's like putting away my clutter in a sort of, like I don't actually clean. People are like, you're clean. I'm like, no, I have not gotten out like the rags or I'm just moving things from the floor to the place where they belong.
That's
but
right.
I record this and then I speed it up and put it on my stories. And that cathartic sense and feeling of, that people get when their space is clear of junk, and they get that feeling just by watching me do it. So I know how powerful that emotion is, because for me, before I started my day, like we discussed yesterday, I had a harder day. I came into my office and the first thing I did was I had to clean it so that I didn't have that clutter weighing down heavily on me. And I think that's why what you do is so, it's such a pivotal part of not just functionality, but mental health as well.
Yeah. That's kind of one of the big things I talk about, because speaking as a mom, you know, I have, my oldest is five, but not long after he was born, as lots of new moms feel, we're like, oh my God, I was like, he has more stuff than I do. This baby stuff's getting out of control, right? There's, you know, he's, you know, a year old, but he's got, you know, 500 toys everywhere. And it just really started to weigh me down. I felt the anxiety, a lot of clutter-induced anxiety on top of, right, the already anxiety I was feeling from my career, from my life at the time. And it was just too much. And so that was really, once I started decluttering and making really big progress, that clutter-induced anxiety went away. And I tell you what, it was the most freeing thing, and it made me just want more. And that's why I'm always talking about mental health with moms and how decluttering can really make a big impact on our mental health and our motherhood and our lives. And it's just my mental health and my motherhood honestly did a 180 after I simplified my home, just from simplifying my home. So it's so, so powerful. Just like you mentioned, you walk into your office, you want a tidy space so you can focus. Well, let's do that with our entire home so you can focus on, you know, actually getting to play with your kids or spending time, yes, whatever, doing what you want to do instead of, you know, just being, you know, drowning in a pile of dirty laundry.
Which I think, yeah, is the sort of never ending rat or like hamster wheel that mom's exactly face. It just, it's unfortunately, it's one of those things that never ends. So I know it causes a lot of anxiety for people. Now, before we jump into things, can you just tell people a little bit about yourself? I know you gave a little bit of a backstory into what you do, but just who you are, why you're here.
For sure. So I've, like I said, I really got into, I fell into, I guess, the decluttering, you know, organically after my first son was born, but really after my second son was born, like a lot of people and like a lot of moms listening, it's like, you know, the clutter is impacting you. I think more often than not, like, oh, this is stressing me out. But it's like, you maybe have a good purge a couple times a year after you step on a Lego and it sends you over the edge and you're like, I'm burning every single toy in my house, right? So you pack up what you can, take it to Goodwill, you feel good, but then the clutter's back and days, weeks, whatever that is. So I was kind of in that normal kind of maybe take one step forward and then 15 steps back again, right? And so after my second son was born, I was just really feeling the weight and the burden of my home. And I don't want anyone to think like I was a hoarder by any means. Like I know y'all are in Canada. I don't know your stats, but the average American home has over 300,000 items in it. And it's just,
what?
I know, it's crazy. So
yeah,
I'm
probably
curious.
Have that. I have a lot of crap.
Yeah. And it adds up quick. And I just, there's a lot of heavy things going on in my life after my second son was born. My husband and I had some small businesses. He was a chiropractor. I got sucked back into the clinic full time. And you know, like having a pump at work, I hated my job. I resented my husband, you know, all of these things were happening. It was just a terrible time in my life. And I thought, clutter is this home is one place that I want to come back to at the end of the day of my crappy day that I hated being at work. I want to feel peaceful here. I want to feel relaxed here. I don't want to come home to another, you know, full-time job, which is honestly what it felt like. And so I was like, I need to just get this crap under control. So like millions of people in the world, I went on Amazon, got The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo, and read it. I really got some great information. I tried some of the methods and I was like, I don't have 6 hours to work on my closet right now. I've got 15 minutes before the baby wakes up from his nap, you know? And so I just really, you know, through trial and error, tried to develop a system that worked for busy moms, because all the crap I read on Pinterest and blogs, it's just like, just declutter it. Just, you know, it was so, it kind of oversimplified the complex, the, you know, super complex things and over like it was so complicated and it was so challenging for me. And so it kind of forced me to, you know, create a framework that worked. And so 2 years later, I got it done. And then I was like, I need to get this in the hands of other mamas. So I wasn't always a, you know, like decluttered, you know, simplified mama. I went through my own story and my own journey with it. We're all on a journey. I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm just done with it. It's always something that you've got to deal with as a mom. It's just, you know, instead of taking several hours of my weeks or day, it takes minutes now. So like I said, it really, honestly, I felt like it gave me my motherhood back. You know, I could play with my kids. I could say yes to playing superheroes with my toddlers instead of being like, no, sorry, you know, I have to handle all this crap in the house right now. And so it's made a huge, huge difference. And it's why I'm so passionate about teaching other moms this stuff.
Yeah, no, that sounds like the dream, because I think I resonated with a lot of what you said, but when you mentioned that coming home felt like another full-time job, I think a lot of people can relate to that, because like the amount, and I have probably a bigger house than most. Like we have 4 bedrooms here. It's, we're like typical suburban 2-car garage home. Mm-hmm. And there's I for sure have at least 300,000 things, which is disgusting to think about. But it's to maintain that. And we came from, before we were in this house, we came from like a 1200 square foot house. And before that, it was a 500 square foot condo. So it's, we've just been filling it because it's fillable. Exactly. And now it takes forever to like to clean. And you can't clean the entire house in a day. It's not physically possible. So what are some of the biggest struggles you see with moms in terms of decluttering and some of the biggest pain points? Like if you had to pick one thing that jumps out and screams, moms really struggle with this, what would it be?
Oh my gosh.
No pressure.
Only one.
You can say more than one.
I think.
Top three?
Sure. Okay. I think one big thing that moms think, maybe without even realizing they're thinking it, is like, once I declutter, you know, like the big purge, the whatever, I'm kind of, it's a one and done thing. And people kind of have that with organization. Once I get the right bins or the right system in place, like I'm kind of done. It kind of automates itself. But really, I focus on teaching my clients and, you know, people on who follow me on social media, like it's these 1% shifts and improvements we make over time and these habits we bring in that really are going to keep the momentum going and make sure that clutter doesn't come back. Because again, I mentioned that earlier, like so many moms, it's like you have a 1 step forward, 2 steps back, or 15 steps back, like I kept taking. So that's a really, really big thing. And so I talk a lot about doing clutter audits on a daily basis. These are something I've incorporated over the years that have made a huge impact. And basically what a clutter audit is, boiled down, is anytime you're doing any type of daily chore. So let's say that's laundry. Maybe it's a day where you have to clean the toilets, which I freaking hate cleaning toilets. favorite job. I mean, I don't know anyone who likes cleaning toilets, but it's not me. So let's say I'm cleaning toilets. So I keep my cleaning supplies mostly under the sink. So I go to under my sink and I pull what I need for cleaning toilets or cleaning, you know, the bathrooms or whatever. So I take, you know, 15 seconds, scan the environment under my sink and go, oh my gosh, this product is 20 years old. I don't use this anymore. This is almost gone. Maybe I can finish this up today. Or all the stuff back here, I don't even know, you know, where it came from. It's super old. I don't like it, whatever. So you can purge, you know, 25 to 50% of said area. Same with putting dishes away. If you realize, oh my gosh, my kids aren't babies anymore. Why do I have sippy cups? Or why do I have 1500 coffee mugs that spill out at me anytime I open the cabinet? So it's really just incorporating these clutter audits into, again, these normal everyday routines. I keep little, like 2 boxes in my house, one in the upstairs floor and one in the downstairs floor. So I can quickly grab those items I just need to get rid of, put them in the box and just leave it out of sight, out of mind. Once it's filled up, it goes to the donation center. And so it's not like I'm, you know, telling my students, you need to carve out 3 hours of every single day, you know, to get this done. Yes, it's going to take longer, but it's so much more feasible. And again, it's about creating these habits instead of going, here's a 2-week plan to declutter, which I can also teach people. But then after these 2 weeks, the clutter will come back, whether you like it or not.
What?
Stuff is always going to be coming back into your home, right? And so I think that's a really big one, is just teaching women it's not a one and done thing, you know, ever with organization or clutter.
Today's episode is brought to you by Reconnect in 30, a digital love prompt system for partners after children. Now, this is a system that I created after my husband and I had our two kids and were trying to figure out how to reconnect with one another after, let's just say, a challenging few years with young children. I tested out a whole bunch of different ideas, one of which was a paper copy love prompt journal. I pretty quickly realized that with young children around, that was getting turned into a children's coloring book and we would misplace it and lose it. But I still wanted the connection that it made with my husband and I, starting to think about why we loved each other in the first place, who we are now as adults with children. So I created a digital love prompt system for partners after children. And what that is a daily email system for 30 days, Reconnect in 30, that each you and your partner both get an email that challenges you to start thinking about the difficult questions that you don't necessarily talk about on a day-to-day basis. Bringing things back to why you fell in love, what you like about each other, what challenges each other. And you can get that all at reconnectin30.com. It's only $9.99 for the system, and you will each get a 30-day digital love prompt system. It's at reconnectin30.com.
Does that answer your question?
It does, because no, but I think, because that's the way that I look at it. Like I make these, and I've done it and I've talked about it on Instagram, but I make these massive attempts to, I'm going to declutter the storage room or this room and put a new system in place. And while it's well-intentioned, like 80% of the time, it doesn't stick. Some of them do.
Yeah.
But it's not a practical, tangible thing, because now something I decluttered 6 months ago is equally cluttered again. And yeah, all I can think about is how that room is messy and I'm just putting it off and not dealing with it.
Right. Which causes mental clutter, right? Stress, anxiety. I mean, even behind closed doors, I can't tell you how many people have reached out and said, Katie, every single day I pass this closet in my home or basement or attic or whatever that is for you, or garage. And even though the door's closed and I don't see the clutter, the fact that I know that there's crap in that room that needs to be handled or sorted or gone through increase my anxiety. Some people realize that and some people don't until after they finally go through that area. And then they reach out and go, Katie, I didn't even know this was causing me anxiety, but I have less anxiety ever since I finally went through that space that was kind of just burdening me, right? And so it's so interesting that even behind closed doors, you don't need to visually see it, clutter can impact us, right?
It's so funny you mentioned that, because one of the things that I've said for a while, and people either they get it or they don't, is that I can feel the messes in my house. Like right now, to clean the office that I'm in, I essentially just shoved everything outside of the office into the hall.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the capacity to do this properly right now. I just need it done. I have work to do. I got to get it out. So now I can feel, like in my core, the line and rows of crap sitting on the floor outside my office. Like I know it's there and it's causing me, well, practically in that moment, there wasn't anything else I could do about it because I had to go to work. It's still causing and eliciting some sense of anxiety in me, which is crazy, because it's just stuff, and it's stuff that I obviously don't need or care about because it's just been sitting there.
And here's what clutter does. So clutter at the end of the day, imagine, Erica, you finished whatever, your chores, the kids are in bed, it's 9 o'clock, and you're like, oh, finally, I get to sit on the couch, whatever, have my glass of wine, drink my tea, relax, turn on Netflix, and imagine your husband coming into the room and going, Erica, what are you doing on the couch? There's some more stuff to do. Like, get up off your butt. Like, you'd be pretty pissed, right? You'd be like, what the heck, dude? Clutter does the same thing. It's telling our brains, you're not done, you've got more stuff to do, right? And so, it's just, like you said, our bodies can sense it. And whether we go, oh, you know, it's just there temporarily, or, oh, I'll just ignore it, and maybe someone else in the family will handle it, it's still impacting us.
So to all the moms then who
are listening and they feel like right now, all I want to do is just declutter everything in my life. I'm like, I want that feeling of sitting on my couch and relaxing. I have that effect on people. Yeah, I'm like, okay, let's get started right now. Screw work, screw my life. I just want to do it all. Sorry. Just let me declutter all day long. But for the moms who are like, okay, cool, I get this. I want to implement this, but I feel so overwhelmed by the amount that needs to be done because most people, you know, if they're home with young kids, A, there's one zillion toys. B, all the toys are on different parts and different pieces and different sets. And that's annoying for its own reason.
Oh my gosh.
All the dolls are so probably annoying. Naked and have new clothes everywhere that don't match. And like, how do you even start? Because I think that's a crippling realization that there's just so much stuff.
Yeah. So step one, give yourself grace. This stuff didn't come in your home overnight and you're not going to get this done in a day or a weekend unless you send the kids to grandma's and don't sleep, you know, give yourself grace. So many moms just eat themselves up and are like, I can't believe my house looks like this. This is so stressful as I'm handling this. And, you know, just give yourself grace and, you know, work again, focus on that 1% improvement every day. What's something I can do today for 5 minutes that's going to help me? It doesn't have to be this big overhaul. You don't have to go from having, you know, a home that you hate to like becoming the most organized mom on the planet. That's not what this is about. And then as far as like the declutter, you know, aspect of it, make sure if you're feeling overwhelmed to really start small. And that could be setting a timer for 15 minutes when the kids are napping or after the kids go to bed. And just grabbing like 2 trash bags, 1 for trash, 1 for donate. I prefer bags because psychologically, when your brain sees things in bags, it sees no value, right? Because it's a trash bag. If you do boxes, it's like, oh, well, maybe I should hang on to this, right? All because of a simple thing like bag versus box. So grab some bags and get after that low-hanging fruit. So low-hanging fruit is typically that stuff that's not gonna elicit emotion or cause you to like ask yourself, go through the questions like, do I really need this or have I used this recently? It's like the crap that just, you know, like the broken, the unused, the stuff that's sitting on your surface areas, your kitchen counters, your bed, all that stuff. And just go to town, 15 minutes, just do what you can. Aim to fill up 1 trash bag or 2. Or if that doesn't sound like something you want to do, I tell my students, shoot for a goal of how many items you want to get rid of each day. And, you know, maybe that's 2 10-minute sessions. Maybe that's a 5-minute session. People are usually pretty surprised how many items you can put in a bag in like 5 or 10 minutes. So maybe that's, you say, okay, I need to get rid of 25 items a day or 50 or 60, and then go for that. And then another tip I have is just start it. If you're like going through your closet, for example, just do 1 specific category. So focus on shoes, focus on socks and bras, maybe. And try and finish that whole category out before moving on to a next one, because that's going to help give you momentum and you're going to see more of the fruits of your labor versus being like, okay, well, I've gotten rid of a lot of stuff, but I still don't have that momentum. But if you finish out 1 category or space, it really, really will make you'll feel it. Like we talked about earlier, your body will feel it. You'll want more of it.
So in terms of the question, the 2 trash bags going around, I love that idea. And it's such an easy thing to just pick up some bags and go and just pick that low hanging fruit. And yes. Just because I'm thinking, even looking at them around now, there's stuff that I don't like, easy, done. Would you recommend starting with doing that like on a regular basis with the whole house or room specific?
It really depends on what your goal is. I know a lot of moms are really motivated by seeing, you know, the fruits of their labor quickly. So, you know, 1 room at a time is great, trying to finish up that room as best as you can before moving on to the next space. But I think like how I did it personally, I just went after that low hanging fruit in every single room, like throughout the whole house. And then I kind of would focus, okay, where do I really want to put my attention next? And finish out 1 room. So for me, that was my master closet. That bad boy took me probably 6 or 7 hours. I'm not kidding. I had a lot of clothes. And once I tidied up and decluttered that space, I moved on to the next one. So it really just depends on what you want, and how you're feeling.
What kind of stuff took 6 or 7 hours to declutter? I'm so curious about, okay, hold on. No, I have a different question. I have so many questions. I need to start this and I need to grab my bags and I need to go. But while you're going, when you get to that next level of things that aren't necessarily low hanging fruit, I think what I struggle with a little bit is stuff with sentimental value. I say only a little because I can be pretty black and white in terms of, okay, this doesn't really mean anything to me, but mm-hmm. what about the things that have sentimental value that I don't use, I don't really care about, but I do care about? Do you know what I mean? It's a weird category, especially for moms, like all the stupid baby things and, I don't know, crafts and art. I just throw the art out now. I don't even tell them. Like, yeah, it's garbage.
Oops, it fell into the trash can.
Yeah, or I repurpose them into cards for people. I'm like, I save them and then people drop them. There we go.
Yeah, repurposing. I love that. So sentimental, really, you know, by definition is just when we're using our emotion more than our logic. So like you said, it's like, I don't like this. Maybe I would never wear it, but maybe your mom gave it to you or your husband, or it reminds you of whatever, your wedding day or your kid being born. And so that makes you emotional. So you go, you know, maybe I'll just keep it for now. So I think, and I just did a podcast on this that I got a lot of really good feedback from, is just trying to ask yourself super practical, logical questions while handling said item. And just so you're aware, Erica, I'm not, just because I like to help people declutter, I am absolutely an advocate for hanging on to that really special stuff and sentimental stuff. But here's the thing, if everything feels sentimental, nothing is. If everything's special and you hang on to everything, nothing is. And is it helping you? You know, at the end of the day, you have to ask, like, is this worth keeping? Because every single item in your home, again, we're coming back to it again, every single item in our home drains us of our time and our energy and our mental headspace. And so you have to ask yourself, is this worth hanging on to? Is this item worth hanging on to? Or would I rather have more headspace, more time, more freedom? And so if you can break it down and ask yourself really simple questions like that, I think it really helps kind of overcome that emotion and go, you know what, if I can't repurpose this, if I can't maybe, you know, turn this kid's artwork into a card, I think it's time to let this bad boy go, because it's sucking up all these things away from me. And so that's really a big thing of the sentimental aspect is, like, I love when I can, like, I have my husband's artwork from when he was 10. It's hanging in my kid's room. It's not sitting in a box collecting dust. I have a really small box we have of sentimental items that we can come back to, you know, but it's not 15 boxes. We've been able to purge a lot of it over time. So that's really a big thing is trying to bring yourself back to why you're doing this in the first place. If it's just to have a Pinterest perfect looking home, you're not going to get super far. But if you're like, hey, I'm on the path to reduce my anxiety, to love motherhood again, to have more time and freedom to do the crap I want to do, boy, that's a much bigger, you know, why you're doing this than like, I just want the clutter gone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, because it gives, like, for me, okay, I mean, the example of keeping all the sentimental stuff is a good one, because in my basement, in my storage room right now, I swear to God, I have probably three giant Rubbermaid Tupperwares, like the big totes, liter ones. I like 20, whatever liters. I don't even know, but the big ones, full of random schoolwork from like grade 8.
Yeah.
Why? And it's almost like, well, I was keeping that for a sentimental reason, but at the same time, if I look at that bigger why, it's more important to me to have my house clutter-free, to reduce my anxiety, to spend time with my kids than worry about some random crap from grade 8 that I'm actually not actively doing anything with, but I'm just too scared to get rid of in case I miss it one day. But right. The time now is more valuable with my kids, and my mental health is more valuable than that 8, grade 8 test.
And I just want to give you a little, you know, encouragement here. Like, I know a lot of moms, it's like, maybe, what do you think the sentimental percentage of sentimental stuff is in your home? Like, out of all of it, 10% at most? Do you think it's more than that? Oh, yeah.
No, way less than that.
Yeah. So it's like you're focusing on, right now your brain is focusing on the absolute hardest thing for most people to get rid of. Your brain instantly goes to worst case scenario, hardest thing to get rid of, the sentimental stuff. You've got 90% of your home that you can focus on in the meantime. And what, like I tell people, it's literally a muscle you're building each and every single time you declutter. It's a muscle, just like I was telling you before we recorded, I work out, right? I'm a lot stronger than I used to be when I didn't work out. And it's the same thing with decluttering. It's like this, your brain goes, okay, I'm starting to get used to this. It feels really, actually feels really good to let things go. Maybe I should do more of this, right? And you get stronger and stronger and are able to make better decisions. And by the time you finish 90% of your home and you get to the sentimental, which I really encourage people to handle last for that reason, it's so much easier. And again, I'm not saying don't keep that stuff from grade eight. Maybe you can frame it. Maybe you can scan it. There are, you know, creative ways you can maybe repurpose it. But I think it'll be a lot more clear to you, your body, you know, because we feel it. I think our gut knows, like, this can go or this cannot go. It's our brain that goes, but wait, you paid a lot for this, or this could be useful, or, you know, whatever that is. And so again, I think focus on that 90%, Erica, because that's going to take the bulk of your time and it's going to help you with the sentimental whenever you get to it.
Yeah. And even just focusing it from that think of it from that perspective already makes me feel lighter and more able to get started. Now, the thing that makes me really terrified to start this process, the bulk of the clutter in my house is toys. Mm-hmm. So it's so funny because I've gotten so much feedback over the years, given that I share so much on Instagram about, well, just get rid of the toys, just this and just that. And I so appreciate that feedback. However, it's difficult for me because we have some very kind, very generous family members who really, truly love to spoil our kids. And despite having had those difficult conversations with them of they have too much stuff, they don't need anymore, it still continues. And they're just kind, caring people who want to spoil the kids. So how do you approach... That's my little origin story on my toy clutter fiasco. We're also the first one with the first grandkids in the family. So they got, they got well taken care of. How do I start tackling the toys? Like, I'm thinking my daughter has 1 zillion Barbies. They all have different outfits. They're all, the Barbies are naked and the outfits are like everywhere. Now Austin's starting to get into cars. Cars are everywhere. And then there's puzzles and Lego and, oh my God, so much. And we're home. So as parents, we're stuck at home if you're listening to this during COVID. So we're feeling obligated to increase the option
keep
of
toys.
Keep
them entertained. Yes.
Keep them friggin' entertained while we're trying to work. So how the heck do I start with my toys? I have no idea. It's so overwhelming. I know you're going to say small things, but.
This is like a 5-part answer. No. Okay. First thing, with like the grandparents or loved ones giving your kiddos stuff. If you've already had that conversation, just make sure if you want to have that conversation, like, hey, you know, I really appreciate you purchasing XYZ for the kids or whatever, but you know, they're starting to get too much stuff. I always give them, if you haven't already done this, always give them, like, instead of just not buying them anything, offer experience-based gifts. You know, if you're grandparents or whoever is buying this stuff for your kiddos is close, especially experience-based gifts that they can all experience together. Maybe that's a water park membership. Maybe that's a zoo membership, or, you know, if there's a local fair that happens, you know, your kids love, you know, if your parents bought them a water park membership and they could all go together and have that experience together. I think that is like the ultimate, even for your parents, that is the ultimate like gift giving, because they get to experience it with the kiddo. If maybe you live far away and that can't happen, you know, my parents over the years have also converted a lot more from like physical items to those experienced items that we talked about. Or maybe here's an example. If your daughter, is your daughter in dance or anything, or is she?
We started to put her in everything sports? And then everything shut down.
Okay. So let's just, I did this one day. The other day, her daughter was, she was in ballet. So I said, why don't you ask your parents to get her a couple ballet outfits, right? It saves you money. You don't, because that stuff is expensive. It adds up quick, or baseball uniforms or something, right? And then send your parents pictures or videos of her in this dress. And she's like, oh, I love that idea. And guess
That's
what?
So
the parents
smart.
Really loved it. And it, again, I think it's about saving you money. You know, your kiddo still loves it. They still get to buy something physical. Because remember, for a lot of people, it's like a love language is gift giving. So you can't just be like, hey, stop loving my kid the way you love them. You know, it doesn't work for everyone that way. And then your question was, sorry, so I had to kind of preface that.
No, I love that. I think that's such a good idea, especially I never would have thought of items for activities. So like we were planning to start T-ball. So that would have been a really easy thing. And, and the family's really into baseball and softball. So put her into T-ball and then get her the stuff to help with that. They would have loved that.
Like, yeah, she can pick out a bat and then send your mom the link for the bat, right? Hey, can you get this for her? Every time she's playing baseball, guess what? Hopefully she thinks about your mom. Like, how special would that be? I would think as a grandparent, knowing, yeah, I would love that. Gosh, you know, that's so special. Instead of just like, hey, here's a toy I found and it was on sale. You might like it.
Yeah.
Or you might play so with it for 5 minutes and then never touch it again.
Then it goes into the basement with my abusive stuff.
So as far as getting started with toys, again, the low-hanging fruit I think is super easy. That's, again, grabbing that trash bag, getting the broken. Honestly, one of my favorite things in the world, and this is something I haven't told my kids, I'm like, I love when toys break and I have to get rid of them. You know, or like if they lose essential pieces and you're like, oh man, that's too bad, buddy. Looks like we have to get rid of the whole thing.
I love that that's your like dorky thing. Yes, the toy is broken. I can declutter.
It sparks joy. But yeah, like focusing in on like, okay, do I have all the pieces for this puzzle or am I missing 10, right? Going through like that super basic, have they touched this in a year? Nope, it can go. But beyond that, I think a really helpful thing for a lot of moms, especially at this time who are afraid to declutter, is just start doing toy rotation. This has helped me over the years and helped so many people. And so basically, are you familiar with toy rotation? Have you tried it? Have you done it?
I have it set up. the problem is that, let's just put it this way, there's not a lot of buy-in from key other people in my house, aka my husband is terrible at enforcing appropriate toy rotation. So the kids will bust into the room where I keep all the extra toys and it just goes into chaos. I'm thinking at this out loud, right? Because our basement is set up so that we have a play area and then a spare bedroom, and that spare bedroom is used for all the sort of extra toys that I have stored in there, but they can access it. So if they can't access it, then they would eliminate that problem. I'm just brainstorming out loud. I have to stop.
No, that makes sense. And I'm happy you brought that up because you're going to have listeners that are in the same spot. I would encourage you to maybe find a lock to put on that bad boy. Or not the room necessarily, but I don't know. That's been helpful for a lot of my clients, is just being able to, because you have to, that's kind of the point, right? Otherwise they're just busting in, opening up the box, and it's like kind of getting back into that routine of, oh, let's play with this for 5 minutes, or just make a mess and walk away and leave Erica.
That's exactly what's happening right now.
AKA mom with a million things to pick up at the end of the day. Because it's like, if you tell your kids, okay, great. If you pull all the stuff out, you have to pick it up, right? Imagine them looking at two rooms full of stuff on the floor. It's overwhelming for us as adults, let alone when you're 5, 4, 3, however old, you know, your kiddos are. And they go, no, I don't want to do that. And then it's still like, great, my last hour of my day is picking up all this crap, this mess that you made. But anyway, one big thing for toys is setting up an established clutter limit. So what do I mean by that? Any space in your home, okay, here's an example. A closet is a physical limit that's of space in your home that says, this is how much room you have for clothes. Our brains are smart. And if the closet fills up, we go, oh, maybe I'll buy a dresser, put the dresser in my bedroom, right? And so now you've got two physical spaces. And then once that one overflows, you're like, oh, I'll just toss clothes on this chair in my room, right? And so we're not sticking to these physical spaces that are designed to limit our clutter. And so toys are the same way. So what I started doing when I was in the beginning of my journey is I set up a super tight physical clutter space. And that was like a 6-bin little thing from Walmart with like the little boxes inside. Mm-hmm. And I told my kids were young at the time, but I told my husband, if it doesn't fit, it's not staying in this space. We do have a small area of toys in our garage for like outdoor play. But if you can stick to that, and I'm not saying go from like 5,000 toys to 50 overnight, but if you can start to wean based on, okay, my kids don't really need all these toys. Here's a realistic next step for me. I'll go from 5,000 toys to 4,000 by the end of next week, right? And then start shifting that physical clutter limit and sticking to it. And if your kids are old enough to understand, you can say, hey, little Johnny, I really love that grandma gave you this fire truck. Let's look at some of these other toys because your toy bin's pretty full and see which one that maybe you don't play with that we could, you know, give to another little boy. And getting them to understand once this is full, that's a cue, that's a sign for mommy and for us together to let go of some of these other things. And so start just working your way towards setting, first of all, a clutter limit, and sticking to it is a really, really big thing.
No, I think that's such a good idea. And it's funny because my brain immediately goes to, oh my God, how could I possibly get to where I want to go, which is like those 50 toys, but I'm starting at that 5,000. Mm-hmm. But if I can, you know, go through and do a trash bag run for broken and missing pieces, honestly, that would probably get me down to 4,000 right away. The amount of puzzles that are missing pieces, I don't think I have a full puzzle. I really, truly don't.
Yeah.
And also I think for kids, you realize that because especially in the young stages, there's toys that aren't developmentally appropriate for them anymore. They've grown out of them.
Yes.
Okay. I feel so good.
And here's the thing. I want to tell you this too. And your listeners, studies show, this isn't just my opinion, studies show that kids, so many things, there are so many benefits to having less toys. Cause I know it's like a fear thing for parents. It's like, well, what if they don't feel loved or whatever, you know, sometimes it's kind of deeper than I just want them to feel entertained, but kids play independently for longer periods of time when they have less choices. I mean, imagine again, walking into a room at 3 years old or even now, I don't know if you have these stores in Canada. It's like kind of like those bargain stores where there's just bins of crap everywhere. It's not organized, but it's like, hey, everything's like $2. Do you have that there?
Sort of in different variations. Like not as common anymore.
Okay. So we have a couple of those here. And it's like anytime I used to walk into those stores, I would get so overwhelmed, right? You don't know where to start. You don't, you're picking up random stuff. Your brain kind of goes into overdrive. That happens to kids the same way when they're looking at all this stuff. So what do? They pull it out, play with it for a second. The play isn't even effective. They don't get to use their imagination or creativity. And then they pull the next thing out, play with it for 2 seconds, you know, whatever. And then it just all piles up. So it can help with communication. It can help with creativity. They get to use their imagination longer. And I saw it in my kids who were quite young when I started this journey. And it really made a big difference. So on a lot of days, and this is going to make a lot of people go, oh my gosh, I need to do this. I can probably maybe 5 out of 7 days of the week cook dinner in peace for an hour while my kids play. And that's with just a few toys they're using. I'm not kidding you.
Okay, tell people how old your kids are right now, just to put this into context.
They're 3 and 5, both boys.
This is why I wanted you to tell them how old they were, because that's insane to me. Like, that's not something that happens in my world.
Yeah.
But making dinner if I'm alone with them is my biggest nightmare. I have to use the TV or it's bad.
Yeah. So I've seen it in my world. It's amazing. It really was like the nail in the coffin. Like I need to keep the clutter at bay. More is not better, you know, less is better for sure. So there's hope.
Oh my God. Okay. So I it's so funny because I'm thinking right now to my calendar for my work day. I'm like, when can I squeeze in 15 minutes to just grab two garbage? I'm so excited.
Here's the thing.
I think you elicit this in people.
Do it every day. Don't be like, oh, I'm just going to do this. Like, look, 5 minutes, 10 minutes every single day, those clutter audits where you're not like, oh, Katie told me to declutter, so I need to declutter. It's like, okay, like I'm dusting the floor. Like, oh, and there's crap under my bed. Let me just pull it out quick and let's get rid of it. You know, it makes it seem so much less overwhelming, you know, when you don't necessarily have like a clear directive. It's just like, hey, here's where I'm at in my space. Let's look at this stuff. I don't need it. Let it go.
Okay. Really quick question, because I'm staring at a fake plant that's sitting in front of me right now. Mm-hmm. Serves no purpose. It's just, it's okay to look at. What are your thoughts on decorative pieces?
Less is more for decorative too. In fact, my kids broke two of our little home decor pieces the other day. One of them was my 3-year-old lashing out at his brother. Yeah. So he just like picked this little pottery thing up and chucked it. And I was like, well,
that it's broken. I can throw it out now.
I know. No, I was also actually excited. Luckily, it wasn't like sentimental or anything. But you know, I actually love greenery. I used to have real plants in my home, a few, but I have a brown thumb, so they died. So I actually have a green plant over in the corner. You can't see behind me. So I think it elicits kind of like the same, I don't know, relaxation that real plants do. So I'm an advocate for fake plants or real.
But as long as they have a purpose and they're listing a positive emotion.
Right. And if you have 16 throw pillows on your bed and you need to make your bed every day with 16 throw pillows, it's like, shoot me now. I would never. No, that's not my cup of tea. But yeah, I think ultimately having white space and not every nook and cranny or all your wall space filled in your home will also be a big, big thing. That's one area a lot of people don't focus on when they start to declutter is home decor and even furniture. It's like, I think about my guest bedroom when we moved into our home. It's like usually the furniture that isn't good enough for your master goes into the guest room. It's like the extra crap, right? So it's like, okay, let's go into the guest. Okay, this is, I hate this. Maybe I got it for free or it was so-and-so's or whatever, you know, but it's just like, I hate this. And just decluttering furniture and creating that white space. Instantly in a room that you barely ever go in, right? The guest bedroom, instantly. It's about that feeling you get that we keep coming back to. Your body knows and it just feels good. And every time you go in that guest bedroom, you're gonna be like, oh my God, it feels so much better in here. Even as a guest in this home, I would really love to stay in this room versus like this hodgepodge of crap furniture and decor that wasn't good enough for the rest of my house.
So true. Oh my goodness. Okay. If people are keen to start and like me, who I'm just like, let me leave my office so I can throw stuff in the garbage or donate it. Where, I think you have a really good freebie on your website, right?
Yes.
Where do they go to find that?
Yeah. So you can go to my Instagram, Katie Joy Wells, or my website, katiejoywells.com. It's called the Declutter Survival Guide for a very important reason. Sometimes it's just about surviving it, getting through it, because I don't want women to take that one step forward, two step back. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you get to your goal. So I give really, really actionable steps in there to, again, get over that overwhelm, kind of crush that emotion and a lot of the roadblocks that tend to come up in the beginning and middle and end of, you know, the decluttering journey. So that's a really good workbook I've created and you can get that for free.
Okay. Where else can people stalk you if they want to find out more about you or get in touch with you?
I would say, well, my podcast is a big one. So I've got a top rated podcast. I know a lot of people think like podcast is just like, oh, it's someone talking to you. But honestly, it feels like a two-way conversation for me. And I don't know if you ever get that too, but I get a lot of people who email me or just respond saying, oh my God, it felt like you were talking to me or we were having a conversation together. So my podcast is called The Maximized Minimalist. I help moms simplify in all ways, shapes, and forms. I talk obviously about cluttering and decluttering, and then I have lots of guest experts, you included, who come on to help simplify your lives in other ways, whether that's parenting, mental health, physical health, and then Instagram. I spend a good amount of time creating content for Instagram and Facebook, so that's Katie Joy Wells.
Oh my God, I'm so, so excited.
Yay! I did my job then, Erica.
I literally, so because moms can't clear your calendar. Yeah, no, I'm actually like, I've been conscious, like subconsciously in the back end, thinking of all the crap in the office I'm sitting in right now. I'm like, why do I have that random picture? There's picture frames on my shelf behind me with no pictures in them. Like they haven't had pictures in them for 3 years. I don't do like decor very well. I just sort of like buy things and throw it somewhere and forget about it. I'm not a decor person.
Same.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome, girl. It was fun.
Okay, so that was my episode with Katie. If you have any questions for her or want to check her out online, I put all of her details in the description. So whatever tool you're listening on, just click that link and it'll get you to all of the links. Now, again, it's time for the awkward. I would love if you could leave me a review. And I'm going to just keep reminding you. So just assume that this is part of it. Again, the reason is it helps rank with different podcasts. Oh my God, guys, my brain, words. It helps put me in rankings for different podcasts. And if the higher my podcast ranks, it's a whole bunch of different things that happen with that. more people will see that podcast, then I could possibly have sponsors, a whole bunch of other different things. So it does super help. I would really appreciate it. All you have to do is go to the podcast player of your choice. If you're listening on iTunes, which I think most of you are, but not all of you, it's a little bit confusing because you have to go all the way down past all the episodes. And there's this tiny little thing that says, I think it says write a review or leave a review. And it's this tiny little sentence that's just hyperlinked. It's really not the most intuitive thing ever, but it's just at the very bottom, you have to click it and it gives you then the option to leave your star choice and then like a few, like a sentence or so about whatever you think about this episode or podcast in general. Anywho, wow. Rambly words struggle. It is 5:40 in the morning right now and I'm recording this on Monday or Wednesday, the day that this episode is going to be released, and I haven't finished my coffee yet. So I'm going to just blame it on that. Either way, guys, thank you so much for listening. I will see you online.